It's time now to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins, brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett and White, the professional builder's choice. Bruce, how are you?
Very well, thanks. How are you doing, Marty?
Yeah, very nice. You know, I'm down here in the pinball machine where something always happens down here. Either the ball is a rocket off the turf, the grass, or home runs go over that crazy line in the outfield, or something goes in the pool, or Paul Goldschmidt hits one the other way.
Yeah, at least what Goldschmidt did makes a lot of sense, as opposed to some of the crazy configurations in that park. That was a pretty good bit of hitting and a real heartbreaker, obviously, for the Giants.
You know, I was saying earlier, if that game was Game 3 of the championship series or Game 5 of the division series, you would come back the next day, you'd be crestfallen. It would be the end of the world for you. But at Game 102, not quite as dramatic.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't think it's as crushing a loss as it's been portrayed. I mean, Matt Cain came pretty much all the way back. He was fabulous. They had a lead in a tough park to hold Arizona down. One bad pitch did him in to a guy who's making a run at MVP, for all we know. Goldschmidt's been that good. So, and Arizona's I think we've both been saying all year, they're the team, they're the best threat to the Giants in the division. They are the best team in the division right now. I've liked what they've done from the start this year.
Yeah, and you know something, again, you look at the coaching staff of the Giants, and you know, they're such a good staff to get everybody ready to play. You look at the Diamondbacks, there's Don Baylor, there's Matt Williams, the great Steve Sachs, remember him?
Yeah.
Kirk Gibson, Alan Trammell. Yeah, Charlie Nagy. I like the matchup of the two teams. You know that? I just find it interesting.
Well, absolutely. I think it's a great matchup. And, yeah, you get all those coaches together. You could spread them out all over the major leagues and, you know, managers, put them making managers. But, you know, Kevin Towers made it pretty clear over the offseason that he really admired the way the Giants played, and he would rather that the Diamondbacks play more to that style. The trade of Justin Upton was absolutely the crystallization of that whole change in philosophy. And, you know, obviously he's thriving in Atlanta, but they don't regret the deal at all. They're a different sort of scrappier team. They've done it minus, you know, some key parts. Adam Eaton, the guy who was supposed to lead off and play center, has been hurt. Daniel Hudson had a big setback. He seemed like he was almost back in the rotation. But they're pretty deep in starting pitchers, and the lineup is a bunch of tough outs.
You know, how do you feel about the Giants at this point? And I say that because, you know, the last week pitching is better. They've made an error in six games. They're hitting about .220. And it just seems that they can't get the thing in sync.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm not terribly concerned. If I were a fan, I certainly wouldn't be. I don't see any reason why they won't be in contention to the end. You know, having a tough night against Corbin is no disgrace. That guy is very, very good. He's really come on. His breaking pitches are outstanding, and he pitched another gem last night. But, I mean, it's never going to be a cakewalk the year after you win it, or the year yet you do win it. But, you know, you got to expect a few rough times. But I don't think there's anything fundamentally wrong with the team. It'll be interesting to see what Sabian does at the trading deadline, but he's going to take a good look over the next 6 weeks before he does anything drastic, and I think that's the right approach.
Yeah, that's the way they always do it. What do you think about what's going on in L.A. with the guy that we saw in spring training? Hit about 600 down here in Arizona. They farmed him out. He had a couple of skirmishes with driving issues, and they brought him up. And we're talking about Puig for the Dodgers, and he's played five games, four homers, 10 RBIs. And then he wears number 66, and someone had a great tweet the other night. They said, not only does he control the game, he controls the weather, because the game time temperature was 66 when it started. I thought that was pretty good.
And he only drives on Route 66. So, I mean, he controls the highway. He's got to cue up the old Nelson Riddle theme song for the TV show when he comes up. It's still one of my favorite pieces of music. That was a great Route 66 theme. But, yeah, and it takes a heck of a player to look good wearing number 66. You know, he'd look good wearing number 180. I mean, he's a lot like Cespedes. These two guys come out of Cuba. They're built like Bo Jackson. You know, they run like the wind. They throw rockets. They have a tremendous power. They're not overmatched by the Major League breaking ball. Of course, it's early for Puig, but he has tagged some breaking balls so far. They're aggressive hitters. You know, in an age when everybody's taught to work the count, but I love the way they approach it. The Puig's hit four homers, two on the first pitch, two on the second pitch. And you know, the Dodgers just really needed something like that. They were asleep. They were not generating any energy. All of a sudden, this guy comes in and just, oh, I mean, what a jolt. I mean, Don Mattingly goes, I don't even believe it after a while. This guy's, and Vince Scully, on one of the home run calls, he just said, I'm speechless, and then he let the crowd noise take care of it for about a minute and a half.
Boy, he does that so well.
Yeah.
Hey, how'd you like the game today? I don't know if you saw this final score. 20 innings, the Marlins ended up beating the Mets 2-1 today in 20 innings. It just reminded me, anytime I see a Met game that goes 20 innings, I think of Gaylord Perry and the Met doubleheader. I don't know why. I see Mets in 20 innings, I see that.
Yeah, that's right. It's funny how those memories, they always come back when you just need a little prodding. But that's not my favorite matchup to watch in the first place. I mean, if Harvey were pitching, or, you know, Zach Wheeler is going to be pitching for the Mets before long from what I hear, but that could have been a little tedious.
Well, Harvey did pitch in that one.
Did he?
He went seven innings, and he left with some back tightness. I guess Sean Markham, it just shows you how these games, it's like the Gaylord Perry. He pitched 10 innings in the 23-inning game.
Yeah.
And Sean Markham went eight innings today, one run in relief.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's great.
Well, that good for the Mets, right?
Yeah,
good for them. What's going on the other side of the bay, though? I think it's worth taking notice of. We saw it in Interleague, and the A's are just every night they go out there and they just win.
Yeah, they're so impressive. Right down to the final out when they got Balfour out there yelling and screaming and kicking up dirt, and it's just a wild horse out there getting the last out. He's tremendous. You know, Reddick came back, made a fantastic catch on Connor Gillespie, oddly enough. Yesterday, that ball looked like it was gone. I can still hear Hawk Harrelson, you know, dadgummit!
The Hawk had a tough weekend, I want to tell you. And, you know, I think, just to digress for a second, I think Adam Dunn homered today.
Did he?
And I think they got a home run yesterday, and it was the first home run that they got since May 22nd by someone other than Adam Dunn.
But, you know, the A's are, I just think they're so impressive because you look up and down the lineup outside of Cespedes, and it's a bunch of guys who've kind of been around and weren't high price prospects necessarily. They've played with other teams. They've kind of been given up on by some teams, and up and down the order, they're a bunch of tough outs. You know, they strike out a lot, but they also hit home runs. They hit in the clutch. Melvin's a tremendous manager. And, you know, right now, I don't think anybody would be shocked if they wound up having a better season than the Giants. I mean, and here they are up against Texas and the Angels. I mean, talk about a brutal division. That's a bigger challenge than the Giants face, for my money, and they're totally holding their own.
Yeah. This National League is going to be pretty good. And when I say that, the Cardinals keep winning. And they're doing it with young pitchers. And I say, let me see the young pitchers on August 30th. Let me see what they look like then. But Cincinnati, they've got issues with Cueto now. He's out.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh, boy, the Giants are going into Pittsburgh. You know, it's a very interesting matchup on Tuesday.
Yeah, Cole is going, yeah?
Yeah. Did I tell you the story about him?
All I know is he's out of UCLA, and he married Brandon Crawford's sister, and he's very highly regarded.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're married, but maybe his girlfriend.
Oh, that's right. They're dating.
So I'm at the Arizona Fall League, and, you know, I see Garrett Cole, and he's pitching the next day. So in the Fall League, when they have a pitcher who goes the next day, they send him out to the stands, and he's there with a radar gun, and he charts pitches like they used to do in the old days to see what people do. Well, this guy with the radar gun, what he's doing is he's not watching the speed of the pitches. He's watching the speed of the airplanes going overhead. And that was great. And now I know that the approach to Phoenix Airport, the plane goes 130 miles an hour.
Yeah, he clocked a guy at 600 miles an hour one day.
So he's a little bit offbeat. And I know he's got a lot of confidence, and the Giants get him on Tuesday. And then they get Liriano, who looks like he's all the way back on Wednesday.
That's going to be great, and he'll be up against Cole. Will be up against Lincecum on Tuesday.
Right.
That's the park that rivals the Giants. I still haven't been there. I'm dying to go. Fabulous park. You know, good young, exciting team. That'll be great ball.
Yeah. This is some road trip here, and I know you know we talk about being on the road, but you know they got another one here tonight, and then you fly to Pittsburgh, fly to Atlanta before coming home. This June month, it really is a challenge for the ball club.
Yeah, and you know what? I think they're going to come out of it okay. I really do. You know, what Kane did last night, it's too bad because it should have been one of those, you know, shutout games that kind of turns everything around. You know, it's funny how rotation sometimes, the behavior can be infectious. You know, a guy has a rough inning, next guy has a rough inning, and or a bad stretch, next guy has a bad stretch, and sometimes they all, in reverse, they all sort of click at the same time. But Kane is definitely back in terms of just in general. And Bumgarner's has been solid. You know, Lincecum had a real good outing last time. And we'll see how Gaudin does. That's going to be huge tomorrow. I think everybody's expecting really that Giants are going to fall apart and they're going to need a trade for a couple pitchers, and maybe that'll happen, but I don't think so. I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah, they're starting this week. They're starting to pitch a little bit better, and that's mm-hmm. nice to see. And I'll tell you something about Gaudin, and I was in the clubhouse yesterday about 3 o'clock. He's sitting there in front of the video taking notes on players that he's going to pitch against Sunday. How about that?
Yeah, that's the way you have to do it. I think more and more guys are using, you know, the technology that's at their disposal. I mean, they can sit down for hours if they want and watch it, you know, at bats against guys they're going to face. You know, you can put together a frightening film clip of all of Paul Goldschmidt's homers. and deal with stuff like that. But any way you want to break it down, you can. And I think, you know, a guy like Dan, you know, he's been around, and he's really got a great opportunity right now.
Yeah,
he could conceivably make this rotation,
yeah.
At least until Vogelsong comes back. And if he's pitching that well, you know, who knows? So this is a guy who's wanted this chance all his life, and he has started in the past a little bit, but this is a real big opportunity for a World Series team, and who knows?
Yeah, you know, he showed me two things. One, he took the ball after a debacle of a doubleheader.
Yeah.
I mean, and just stood on that mound and threw 94, 95, and he didn't miss up. I say this, Bruce, so many times. When the Giants miss, they miss up. And this guy threw the ball down in the strike zone. And then yesterday I said, wow, look at his preparation, and he doesn't know if he'll start again or whatever. But he's making the most of it. I was impressed with him.
Yeah, I'd have to think that he's in there as long as he pitches well. Even if he doesn't record a win, if he throws 95, keeps the ball down, and doesn't get hit hard, you know, that's something that they need.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge in this park. You know, speed hurt the Giants when they lost, when the Arizona beat them up in San Francisco. Remember, the outfielders were kind of lackadaisical in a couple of games. But I thought the Giants held Arizona down pretty well last night, especially speed-wise. The game never got away from the Giants. Now, Sandoval backed up on the ball, and Pollock beat it out.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't think the speed of the Diamondbacks affected anything last night.
Yeah, they kept Gregorius in check. He's a real interesting player to me. I mean, you talk about the talent coming out of Curaçao. This is a guy who, you know, played second base all through his youth because he couldn't get past Anderson Simmons, who was playing short and had a rocket for an arm. And when he pitched, he threw 95. You know, now these guys are both shortstops in the major leagues, and neither one of them is Jurickson Profar.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's awesome.
And you put Crawford in the middle of this.
Yeah.
And you really, you know, honestly, someone tweeted this into me because I asked the question, who's the most exciting player on the Giants today? And, you know, people are, you know, 8 for 45, 6 for 41. You know, guys are not, you know, whacking the ball that much right now. But Crawford is just still playing excellent baseball.
Well, Crawford on defense, to me, I would almost say Crawford making a tough play.
Yeah,
that's the most exceptional stuff you're seeing out of the Giants. I mean, you know, if Hunter Pence really gets a hold of one, that's phenomenal. You know, obviously Buster Posey's one of the best day in and day out. But Crawford on defense is really a cut above. And, you know, shortstops all over the game are taking big, big notice of this guy. And it happens at a time when you do have Gregorius and Simmons and Gene Segura. And then, of course, Kulawiski is still kind of on top. And it's a fantastic era for shortstops.
Yeah, once again, we're back to it. It's like 1995 again
with
all the shortstops. Hey, Bruce, thank you so much as always. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
You got it. Talk to you then, Marty. Thanks.
All right. That is a wonderful Bruce Jenkins on KNBR 680 from, of course, the San Francisco Chronicle.